Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Monday, July the 30th. This is a lucky Monday. We have 81 degrees at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's anywhere from 15 to 20 degrees cooler than what we've had for the last 2 weeks. So that's a big thing. And we got some rain today, which is always welcomed, especially for the grass and all of the fields. They always need a little water down here. So happy day, 81 degrees. That is absolutely marvelous. Well, today we got a couple of big stories I want to get into. I have a post over at the American Thinker about the city of Austin and talking about changing its name, I guess, and the names of many streets and locations in that beautiful city. And I also have a post coming out Tuesday morning about Medicare. You know, there was a very interesting study that just came out indicating that Medicare for All, which is the latest talking point from the Democrats, would cost $32 trillion. I did say trillion. That's the one that starts with a T. I don't even know how many zeros a trillion is, but it's a heck of a lot of money. And it would cost $32 trillion over the next 10 years. Well, the bottom line is we don't have that money. We don't have that money. And we could double taxes on corporations and rich people, and we still wouldn't be able to get that money. But, of course, logic and facts are not enough to stop some of these talking points from the left. Let me begin, though, with a couple of stories that came out today that I think were very interesting. One is President Trump continues to say that he's willing to shut down the government over the border. I don't know whether he will actually do that or not. This is September, October when this happens, if it happens. It would be in the heat of the midterm elections. So I don't know whether it'll happen or not. Hopefully it won't happen. Hopefully these guys can sit down and actually produce a budget on time, something they cannot seem to be able to do. Both parties, by the way, included in this. This is not an attack on the Democrats or the Republicans. Both parties, for whatever reason, can never sit down and do a budget. Well, I hope they can this year. And as far as the president's threat, you know, I want to see border security as much as everybody else. I think a wall is part of that security. It's not the only solution. But I think in certain parts of the border, a wall would be very good. But I'm not sure that shutting down the government is something that would work. I've always felt that shutting down the government is counterproductive, even though the essential services go on. And I know a lot of people get frustrated with the way we govern and how things just get caught up in this crazy partisan stuff going on in Washington. But I'm not sure that shutting down the government is the best thing, nor do I think that President Trump is actually going to do it. I think this is a negotiation tactic, and we have seen President Trump do this before, where he basically negotiates from a position, and he says, I'm going to do this, but then he will find a way of finding an agreement, and I think that's what will happen here. But nevertheless, it is a position that I certainly understand, because I'm just as frustrated as anybody else with these people in Washington who cannot do a budget. All of us have to do a budget. All of us have to do a budget by a certain time. All of us have certain financial responsibilities. And for whatever reason, the people in Washington, the federal government, cannot do a budget on time. Well, if you have to shut down the government because of that, I certainly would not object to. I mean, this stuff of continuing resolutions that we have been operating under for several administrations now, where we do a continuing resolution and then we do another continuing resolution, that is simply not the right way to do this. And so we got to have a budget. We got to have a budget. What happens after that, I don't know. And if you have to shut down the government because there's no budget, I like that reason more than specifically shutting down the government, let's say, because of the border. But let's get a budget done. I mean, that to me is critical. They have got to do a budget, and both sides have got to agree on something. Now, we're in an atmosphere right now, 100 days before the midterms, where there's going to be a lot of politics and probably not much is going to get done because of the midterms. But all I can tell you is, again, I go back to my point, They have got to do a budget. Speaking of the midterms, you know, our friend Barry Castleman, we have him on the show from time to time. He is the Prairie Editor, one of the great websites about politics. We always recommend it. We've had Barry on the show. We'll probably have him on just about once a month between now and the midterms. He's really a great analyst when it comes to politics. One of the reasons that he's such a great analyst when it comes to politics is that he's not a Republican and he's not a Democrat. He really gives it to you straight. He looks at the information. He's been doing it for 40 years, so he has a lot of experience doing this. But in his very last post, he basically said that everybody's talking about a wave. Everybody's talking about this wave or that wave, but he doesn't see any wind. He doesn't see, you know, which way the wind is blowing. Is it a red wave, a blue wave? He doesn't see any wind. And maybe that'll change. It probably will over the next 100 days or so. But right now, be very careful. I think that's the message from Barry. Be very, very careful about signing on to a wave, a blue wave, a red wave. Be very careful about that because there's really, it's way too early to talk about all that stuff. It's way too early to develop those kinds of conclusions. Now, there's a lot of Democrats who are saying, well, the Democrats are raising more money. But raising more money is not in itself an indication that there's going to be a red wave or a blue wave. Obviously, you have to have money. But it depends where the money's coming from. And it depends what the, you know, the message is. You can have the best finance message in the world, but if it doesn't fit the state, you're wasting a lot of money. I think that's what happened to Wendy Davis here. In 2014, she had lots of money. She had no trouble with money. Her campaign had money coming out of their ears, but she had a terrible message for Texas, and she lost the election by 18 points. I mean, Hillary Clinton spent a ton more money than Donald Trump, and yet she lost the election. So it's not all about the money. The money's important, yes. I mean, the money is how you open a staff and open an office and do all that kind of stuff and make phone calls and, you know, different programs here and there. But at the end of the day, you have to have a message. And I think a lot of these Democrats, they think that they're going to do it just with the money. And I think it's going to take a lot more than money. It's going to take also a message. And I don't really see the Democrats right now with a message that is connecting, particularly with many of these centrist areas around the country, where things like abolishing ICE and, you know, the more radical idea, Medicare for all ideas, I don't think that flies real well in many, many parts of the country. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear from my friend Carlos, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guedes Harpies. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sisiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sisiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have all of that information on the show description, right under the show description. You can see all that information about Carlos and where he's going to be around town. He's a very talented musician. And I think if you live in Dallas or if you come to the Dallas area, check where he's at. And I think you're going to enjoy him a great deal. A couple of things on this day in history. We say happy number 77 to Paul Anka, one of the great songwriters and performers of the last 50, 60 years. I mean, he was a very talented guy. He got started very early in his career. I think he was 17 when he had his first hit many years ago. And on this day in 1956, President Eisenhower signed into law In God We Trust, which is what ended up, I think, being a part of our motto, In God We Trust. So that was a good thing by President Eisenhower 62 years ago today. Well, a couple of big stories. I have a post over at American Thinker this morning about the city of Austin, and they're talking about changing their names and changing the names of I guess, streets and monuments and so on. This is, to me, a total waste of time. I'm not trying to undermine or underestimate the historical value or the historical significance or the, you know, the injustice that was done to certain people. I'm not trying to undermine any of that. But I just don't think changing the names and spending money removing monuments, as we did here in Dallas, where we spent I don't know how much money removing a statue of Robert E. Lee, I just don't think that makes any sense. I would rather see, you know, our educational system. I would rather see maybe some additional references in these statues. For example, in Robert E. Lee, we can have additional information about the fact that he fought for the South and so on, and that, you know, the South was obviously supporting slavery. I mean, we can have that additional information. But all of these name changes and all of that end up dividing the country and end up doing absolutely nothing for the people that were supposed to be the victims of this injustice. I mean, you have lousy public schools in most of our inner cities in this country, lousy public schools. We have, in many cases, districts that are not creating jobs, districts with high crime. I would like to know what all of these monument changes and all of these name changes do to improve the quality of the public schools or to improve the quality of life in any of these districts. And the answer is they do absolutely nothing to change that. This is basically people, these are basically politically oriented movements who basically use all of these name changes and all of that because they don't want to talk about the real issues facing those communities, crime, lousy public schools. You really want to do something about the public schools in the inner city? Why don't you allow the parents of the inner city children to choose a school of their choice? Why don't you let them pick a school? Why don't you work with the Republicans in the state legislature to have school choice so that kids can actually, parents can actually send their children to a school that is safe where they will learn? That is how you help people. All these name changes are just distractions. They're just distractions. They do absolutely nothing to support the community. They also divide us because all of a sudden now people who have an investment in these names, people who are part of the history of Texas, are now being told that they're part of an evil, racist story, which is, I think, totally divisive, totally, completely divisive. Stephen Austin, I don't know much about him. I know he was obviously the founder of Texas or one of them. But the idea that we're going to go back now to 1830 and pull out something that he said about slavery makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. Just leave that alone and let's focus on the problems that we have in our society today. So the city of Austin, drop this idea of name changes and concentrate on doing something for the minorities and for the people in your city who may not have good schools or maybe other things that they may not have. I mentioned that there's a new study regarding Medicare for All, which is the latest talking point from the left. Well, Medicare for All, according to a brand new study, is going to cost $32 trillion. That's trillion with a T over the next 10 years. That is insane. That is just absolutely insane. We don't have that money. In fact, you could double the corporate, the personal taxes. You could tax everybody, everything. We don't have the money. So, you know, maybe it's time for these people in the left to start peddling these silly ideas of Medicare for All. There are other ways of giving people health care. I happen to be one of those who believes that we could subsidize some people who have who cannot get health care for whatever reason. But Medicare for All is a loser of an idea. The numbers just don't add up. And now they're saying, well, this is a study done by the Koch brothers. Well, so what? So what? The Koch brothers didn't write this. They had people do the study for them. Just because they did it, it doesn't mean the study is wrong. So drop it. Drop it and accept the reality that Medicare for All is simply an idea that cannot be paid for. And I think the more we keep dwelling on this, the more we keep telling people this, oh, vote for us and we're going to give you Medicare for All. Well, it doesn't really do anything because Medicare for All is something that we cannot afford. As I say, you can double corporate taxes, you can double income taxes, not going to do a darn thing to fix the problem because we simply cannot afford it. Well, thanks for listening, folks. Have an absolutely wonderful day. We have a very nice day here in Dallas, Texas. As I mentioned, 81 degrees. Isn't that great? A little rain. That's even better. Have a wonderful day, everybody. We'll talk to you later. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.